Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Good morning. Oh, I'm trying. Multitasking, not good. 10 seconds, 30 seconds, it all just blends into one for me. I'm a terrible time teller, thank God. Seriously, thank God that he sent me Alex, the best board operator in town. Sorry, Jennifer, you were awesome, but Alex rocks. He keeps me on my toes. So good morning and welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. Here on Redbox Media, we are just going to have a fantastic morning together. Let's see what's on the docket for today. We talk about adoration a little bit, just something that I do on Facebook that I wanted to share with you. And then we're going to talk about From Grief to Grace, The Journey from Tragedy to Triumph from Jeannie Ewing, Sophia Institute Press. We're going to be looking at the triggers for grief and how we can turn it into grace through God's grace and are offering it up. I don't know how many times I heard that as a kid. I laughed because Jeannie talks about how it was just thrown around in her house. Offer it up, offer it up. And it actually has a very rich and meaningful meaning to it. I'm laughing about it, but really it's a serious thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a gift really that the Lord gives us. But first I want to talk about adoration. Speaking of gifts that the Lord gives us, adoration, if you've not heard of this yet, is when we go to a chapel or a church and the Eucharist, which we believe as Catholics to be the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, and a mystery beyond our comprehension, we believe that that because everything is possible with God, that this wafer of bread is our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe that He is present somehow in that Eucharist through the anointing of the priest's hands. He's been given this amazing gift to consecrate the bread and wine into the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's so beyond our comprehension. But when we come to it with a faith like a child, it can transform our faith life. Absolutely transform our faith life. When I was struggling with my faith, really not sure where I wanted to be worshiping, I found myself kind of thrust into adoration, whether I liked it or not. I went to daily mass, which I didn't normally do at the time, but I went to a Saturday daily mass, and leaving there on the, you know, the little like ledge, the little kind of a rock wall when you leave the bottom church of this old, the bottom chapel of this old church, was this woman that her name's Andrea, and I call her my seed planter. It's her faith that I watched as a teenager that inspired me to get to know God more. She's the friend, the mother of a very dear friend of mine and my best friend in high school. So long story short, she's sitting there. I come out of daily mass and she says, "Hey, did you know that we do adoration all day on Saturday here at this church? Did you sign up for a holy hour yet?" And I thought, a holy hour? Yeah, I am not really a holy person. So no, I didn't. But she insisted I go in and look at the list and see if there was a time that perhaps I could sign up to help, because they needed some more people, some what they call adorers, because Jesus can't be alone. Mostly for the protection of the host. We don't want somebody coming in and stealing Jesus. There's people who want to use the Eucharist for very sinister things, and we want to keep him safe. So it's tradition. I don't really think it's kind of like a rule of the church that during Eucharistic adoration, for as long as Jesus is out there, we respect and honor him by making sure somebody's there. So usually if a church offers Eucharistic adoration for an extended period of time, people sign up as adorers to make sure that Jesus is kept company. So I went in and I looked at the list, and the only time available was 2:30 to 3:30 on a Saturday. I thought, yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm a soccer mom. At the time, I was a soccer mom and had a house to clean. And, you know, that was my only family time with my husband, usually Sunday too. But, you know, Saturdays, weekends were kind of sacred, and there was no way I was giving it up to go sit with what at the time I still wasn't completely sure wasn't just a piece of bread. So I came out. I thought, you know, waited long enough to think she's got to be gone by now, right? So I waited and I came out and she's still sitting there. And she asked me if I had, you know, picked time. No, ma'am, I hadn't. You should probably go back in and double check. Well, let's just say this went back and forth for a couple of times before I finally, gave up the fight and just selected the 2:30 to 3:30 time. There was no other time available. So I just took it and I figured I'll go for a few weeks, I'll get her off my back, and then I'll find somebody else to take it over. That's what I'll do. Well, God is so funny, and he'll use all means to answer your prayers, even the ones you don't know you're saying. I love in the scriptures how it says the Holy Spirit takes our groanings and turns them into prayers. You know, those moments where you just groaning, you know, you don't even know what you're really praying for or praying about, but you do know that you just know that the Lord has answered your prayer through this crazy circumstance. You're like, oh, that's what I was asking you. Yeah, I get it. So at that time, I was going through a period of grief, which, you know, this week's book's about, from grief to grace. And we are going to look at one of the triggers in the next section is, you know, the breaking up of a relationship, either a friendship or a divorce. In this case, you know, I had four best friends and we did everything together. We went to women's events. We prayed scripture together. We did, you know, one of our 40th birthdays, we took all our Bibles, went to a hotel with wine and spent the whole night in God's word. And it's one of the best nights of my life. It was amazing. And I never would have thought I would have had that. And then in an instant, it was all gone because they had decided that they were no longer comfortable in the Catholic Church. This was no longer what they wanted for themselves. And they left for the non-denominational evangelical church. And they're so happy there. And I'm happy for them that they discovered Christ in a way that really filled their hearts. But I personally couldn't leave the Catholic Church. At the time, I knew it was the Eucharist and the sacraments, which the Eucharist is part of, but I didn't know exactly what part, like why I was so drawn to it. I know that part of it had to do with my husband going to 7 o'clock Mass every day without my knowing and praying for my discernment for me to stay Catholic, because he saw the beauty in our faith and he wanted that for me. And so he prayed diligently every day for I don't even know how long. I want to guess it was like 2 years, probably at least, where he went every morning and prayed for our family, prayed for me to discern. And so here was this opportunity. I think gives you an answer to his prayer, where this woman is saying, hey, sign up for adoration. And I had never really been to adoration before that. I didn't really know what to do. I remember the first time coming into the adoration chapel at 2:30 on a Saturday. And I knelt down and I thought I was supposed to kneel for the whole time. Like I knew there was like a double genuflection where you will get down on both knees when the host is exposed, or when Jesus is out in the monstrance, that fancy gold thing that we put the host in. And I got on my two knees and then I knelt into the pew, and you know, after 10 minutes, my knees were killing me. Like, oh, I'm too old for this. I can't do this. And finally I sat down and I kind of observed other people in adoration, what they were doing. And I eventually got a spiritual director and I asked them what we're supposed to do in adoration. And I asked the Lord, you know, hi, I'm here. What would you like me to do? And I got so many inspirations. At the time, the smartphones weren't available. So I had this bag full of, like, I called it full of my spiritual tricks. There was a Bible, the catechism, spiritual reading, a journal, my rosary, prayer books, you name it, it was in there. And that's kind of what I did for the hour. I just kind of, whatever you know, was on my heart at that point. I would take out and I would, you know, do. I would read, I'd journal, I'd just talk to God. I'd, you know, it's the only time God got me quiet. And over time, I truly saw that this was how I went from grief to grace, how I went from just mourning the loss of those friends to seeing the Lord doing a new thing in my life. See, I make all things new, he tells us in Revelations. And one of the things I do now, because now we do have Facebook, is every week when I'm going to adoration, I put out a picture. And it's a picture actually of my chapel that I'm in now, my church that I attend now. And it just says, I'm going to adoration today. Can I pray for you? And I'm overwhelmed by the response. You know, what's been really the coolest part is that I now get emails from people who do it themselves, who put out before they go to adoration. Hey, I'm going to adoration today. Can I pray for you? It's opened up conversations with my friends who have no idea what adoration is, Catholic or not. I have just so many people looking for prayer and seeing prayer answered and believing in prayer again, which is very exciting. So, hey, guess what? I'm going to adoration tonight. Can I pray for you? If so, go over to Allison. That doesn't work. Go to a Seeking Heart with Allison Dringers on Facebook, or Reconcile to You on Facebook, or send me a message. Allison, that's what I was going to say. Allison@breadboxmedia.com. If you're my personal friend, the image is up there. I'm going to add it to the show page soon. So please let me pray for you. And if you feel so inclined, ask for the prayers of others while you go and sit with Jesus in adoration. Grace-filled time. Just can't recommend it enough. We come back, we're going to look at more from grief to grace. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Welcome back. If you have not had a chance yet, I want to invite you over to breadboxmedia.com. We are working on our website and it is looking fabulous. You can get so much information over there on all the shows being offered here on Breadbox Media. Many shows being added. This is the word I'm looking for. Excuse me. Added in the next few weeks. You'll want to check out what's coming. There's some podcasts now, some podcast-only shows, some weekend shows, some good stuff on the horizon, and just going to continue to grow. Please keep Breadbox Media in your prayers, we ask. Speaking of going to adoration and praying for others and for things, please pray for Breadbox Media. And if you'd like to help Breadbox Media in a very special way, while, you know what? Helping yourself. Go out to breadboxmedia.com and check out Connect Team. You can watch a video there that explains what we're up to now. Some really cool ways to reach out to nonprofits, to advertisers, to people. We're trying to connect the unconnected. We're trying to help find those who need the services of wonderful businesses out there. And we're trying to help nonprofits do their work by connecting all of these together through our Connect Team program, our Bless the Yes, so many fun things. Go watch these short videos over on breadboxmedia.com. Explains all of it much better than Allison does, but just know this is new, unique, exciting, and we're really hoping blessed by God. So breadboxmedia.com, Bless the Yes, and Connect Team. The Connect Team is a pretty interesting thing, especially if you're looking, I said, for a little extra income. Go check that out today. Breadboxmedia.com. We're looking at From Grief to Grace, The Journey from Tragedy to Triumph, Jeannie Ewing, Sophia Institute Press. Now we're going to look at examples of life events that can trigger grief. Of course, the most common, the most understandable one would be death, the death of a loved one. Death of a Dream. She writes, death is the most reasonable place to begin with referencing grief because it is the universal phenomenon we consider when the words grief and mourning are mentioned. Most of us grew up assuming that death is the only stimulus for launching one into a period of sadness and retrospection. Death is, of course, Jeannie writes, the one event that affects each of us, if not with someone we know personally, then with us. We all realize our mortality, and yet we don't often face it, its possible imminence, not until someone we know has died. Even then, the reality of our own life's end is often too much to bear, and so we forge ahead without a second thought. Oh, yes, yes, I do. Yes, this is the one thing in life I spend the least amount of time thinking about, because honestly, it petrifies me and overwhelms me. Even with, as my faith grows, I still can't get past this fear. When I was in Rio de Janeiro for World Youth Day a few years ago, we were nearly crushed to death, like truly nearly crushed to death on the beach. Like one of those things you have to manhandle people so you could turn sideways and breathe. Just talking about it, it starts to give me post-traumatic. It was the worst experience of my absolute life. And I remember kneeling in church the next day and during Mass and really angry with God. I'm like, why'd you bring me here and nearly kill me? And one of the messages that I felt, you know, in my heart was not to fear death, that fear, that death isn't a punishment. It's a reward. You know, I think of St. Paul telling me like to persevere, to keep on this race, and that the prize for persevering in this race, of course, is eternal glory with God. And I believe that. I understand that. But the human me who doesn't have enough fact gathering, you know, like the unknown is just overwhelming and petrifying. I know I'm not the only one. I know I can't be the only one when it comes to this. I mean, you can hear it in my voice. I can't even talk about it without getting all anxious. It doesn't help that I bumped into something and my boob hurts. And if you're a woman, you'll know what I mean, is that anything that starts to happen with your breasts, you just automatically start to go into panic mode, right? It's crazy. I don't know. I mean, it's part of my hypochondria. I totally know that, that everything causes me an anxiety and a panic attack, but especially the girls. The girls are like, it's crazy. I have issues. I am completely the first one to admit that I've got issues. Jeannie goes on to write, even then, the reality of our own life's end is often too much to bear. So we forge ahead without a second thought. Once our culture's rituals have ended, viewings, funerals, burials, and so forth, do we ponder our life's end? At times during prayer, this thought can be put into perspective, the way in which we utilize the brevity of time we have been allotted, how we have prioritized our relationships, and whether we are truly living what we claim to believe as Catholics. This is not a morose preoccupation with death, but it is a point of personal reflection and often growth in humility. Oh, yes. Okay, Jeannie, I get it. I understand what I'm supposed to do. You know, don't live for tomorrow. Don't put off tomorrow what you can do today. Don't expect tomorrow to be given to you. Yep, yep. I get all that. I just don't like the message. I know one of my prayers recently has really been a prayer for being more diligent, to being less idle, to really embracing the time and the inspirations the Lord has given me in my heart to do, instead of just being kind of frozen in that fear or that despair or that doubt. And you can get that way truly when you start to think about death and the inevitable and the leaving of people behind. And, you know, it seems like I talked in that last segment about asking for prayer requests. Can I tell you, it's one of the hardest things that this hypochondriac does. When you have an anxiety disorder and you're asking people for prayers and they're flowing in the hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, and people are telling you their personal stories or the stories of other people who have gotten diagnoses that you yourself are petrified to get, are having car accidents, are having freak accidents, are, you know, we're praying for so many things, you know, all the things happening in Orlando, you know, nobody is safe. you know, just because we're not safe, and that whole not being safe thing, no matter whether we're watching a marathon or out with our friends or just walking the streets of France, right? We're not safe. And that overarching fear of this could be it, and, you know, what menaces beyond this, that could paralyze us, right? That could totally paralyze us. But this is where faith comes in. This is where grace needs to abound. Because if we really let ourselves entertain those thoughts and not let them turn into now into a, as she says, a personal reflection of change and embracing the faith that we believe in, or asking God to increase that faith in us and to help us to live a grace-filled life, we'd never leave our houses. But even here, we're not safe. I had a prayer request a few years ago for a woman who passed out walking down the stairs, hit just the right way, hit her head, and broke her neck. Like, oh my gosh, these are the things that I am petrified. Like, those freaky deaky things that happen that you can't control. Like, I walked down the stairs with the laundry and I pray the whole way down to my guardian angel to protect me. Please help me get down these stairs. You know, don't let this crazy stuff happen. You know, it's insane. And you can make yourself insane when you worry about this. It can bring you to deep, deep grief. You think about the death of others, you know, you think about life and death, and it can be very difficult to ponder without the gift of God's grace to guide those thoughts, for us to turn that inevitability into a movement of the Spirit, where we embrace the life that the Lord has given us and we ask for his blessings upon it and to guide us in each every moment. I'm so happy that the Lord sent me Mike Aguilina and his book, Angels of God. I can't tell you what peace I get now from knowing that there is somebody that's with me always, and I feel her presence. Maybe I'm crazy. Well, we know I'm crazy, but I feel her presence. And I feel like when I speak to, you know, in my soul, that I am being heard and responded to and helped. And that helps me with this trigger for my grief and the despair. You know, another place that she writes here is infertility and miscarriage and abortion. And I sadly have suffered two miscarriages. One was ectopic and did nearly take my life. I nearly bled to death because it was in my abdomen and the surgery was very severe. And the second was what's called a fetal demise, which is lost the heartbeat at about 8 weeks. And instead of letting that tear my heart apart, which it did for a while, and it can still, I get sad that I have to wait to meet them. Instead, I look at the fact that the Lord has sent me two beautiful children who are mine and can pray for me. You know, we don't know unbaptized children. Like, the church tells us that baptism with water is our, you know, it's the only surest way to be baptized and become a you know, child of Christ. But the catechism also tells us to rely on the mercy of God, of which I do. And I can't imagine that a good and gracious God would not welcome into his heaven these innocent little babies who never even had a moment of a breath to sin. And so I believe that my children, who I've named Chris and Diana, are in heaven with God. They are my saints. We'll talk a little bit between saints and angels when we come back. They are my saints and they are my great intercessors. We're going to pick up with From Grief to Grace, The Journey from Tragedy to Triumph from Jeannie Ewing after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Welcome back. We are talking today about From Grief to Grace, The Journey from Tragedy to Triumph, Jeannie Ewing's new book out from Sophia Institute Press. Don't miss Jeannie here tomorrow, live 10 a.m., June 17th on Seeking Heart. And if you have a moment and you're on breadboxmedia.com, okay, already, I don't know, I'm so funny. At least in my head, I am. Already not okay. There's a couple other things I want you to check out besides Connect Team. Don't forget to download the app if you haven't already. Get the app, change the world. There's no better way to keep Breadbox Media with you in your car, at the beach, in the backyard while the kids play, helping you fall asleep at night. You can play the podcast right from it. Really some great stuff. It's going to be localized. It's sometimes, in some places, it already is a localized station. And if you look at the Connect Team information, you'll see as soon as we have an advertiser in your location, there'll automatically be a localization of station opened up for your area. So it's pretty cool. Pretty soon, we hope, from coast to coast, you'll be able to get Breadbox Media localized to you, your own advertisers, your own community news, just such incredible, unique, fun stuff happening. Hey, the other thing you can do while you're there is check out Friend of the Show. Go to a Seeking Heart, my page there, my show page. You'll see all the great benefits I have to give to you, including a giveaway. And this week's giveaway includes the Risen movie and Little Sins Means a Lot by Elizabeth Scalia. That's one prize. You can get one of three copies of A Single Bead by Stephanie Engelman, or a copy of this week's program, From Grief to Grace by Jeannie Ewing. So let's see. We left off. I was talking about angels and saints. This is really important. Mike Aguilina and I had actually planned on talking about this, but we got just so busy with so many other things. I'm glad that it came back up today. So I was talking about one of the triggers of grief is losing a child in miscarriage. And one of the things that's really sad to me about this is how a couple of things happen. First, it's almost like the mental illness thing that nobody wants to talk about. We all want to like shove it under the rug. Like, oh, well, you didn't really lose a baby. You just, you know, lost a pregnancy. Well, I don't know about you, but I believe that every pregnancy turns into a baby. So whether that pregnancy comes to full term or not, I'm having a baby, or I had a baby and I have a baby now. I believe in heaven. Now, I know the church teaches that, you know, without being able to baptize in with water, there is no that assurance isn't there. However, it does quickly say right after that we rely on the mercy of God, and we know that God is a good and merciful God. The other thing I think about is this consecration that so many people do, that St. Louis de Montfort brought to light, is this consecration to Jesus through Mary. And part of that consecration that so many people have done, myself included, is that we give all our merits and our graces to Mary to distribute as she sees fit. You know, she's the mediatrix of grace, which means that she has this beautiful privilege from God to help distribute our graces and merits and in her loving motherly way. And I just love this image of her as a mom, because as a mom myself, I know that often I stand between my kids and my husband to kind of soften things and help my kids understand dad's point of view, and to help dad see perhaps what, you know, I mean, not like God needs to see Mary. I mean, he sees more than Mary does, of course. But I just love that imagery. You know, as my human brain just loves that. Mary has this great gift to share our prayers and our merits and our graces to those in need of them. And we're not left empty. Some people panic. Well, if I give Mary all my graces and merits when I die, what do I got to show for it? But guess what? You have hers. And those are far more than any of us are ever going to accumulate. So that's a good thing, a very good thing. But I think about this consecration and these merits, and I can't imagine that loving Mary wouldn't ask the Lord to use these all to make sure all unbaptized babies receive their eternal reward of heaven. I believe it. I believe Chris and Diana are in heaven now. When a person enters heaven, they become a saint. Whether they get named by the church or not, they are a saint. People who die are saints. Now, I know that it feels good sometimes to say you have an angel watching over you, or, you know, they're now an angel, but that's not theologically true. And I think it's important to keep them separate because they're both so cool. Why intermingle them? Angels are their own species. They have incredible intelligence, and they're messengers from God. They bring our messages to God, our prayers to God. They protect us. They guide us. They enlighten us. Those are all really good things. And we want them, pure spirit, to be able to commune with us in such a way. And people are people. And becoming a saint's not a bad thing. And they can still watch over you, intercede for you. Sorry, Portuguese girl talking with her hands, hitting the microphone. They can still intercede for you. They can pray for you. We can pray for them. It's a corporal and work of mercy, a spiritual and corporal work of mercy, to bury the dead and pray for the living and the dead. It's good. It's good that they're separate. And I know there's also this old teaching about limbo that was never really a true teaching of the church. So don't worry about the limbo thing. You can Google it if you want. Make sure you go to the Vatican website, get the proper teaching on limbo. I'm not going to do that today, but just a little aside, I guess it's a little pet peeve of mine, a little faith pet peeve, that saints and angels are separate beings. They both have beautiful jobs. So smooth some mornings, aren't I? And today I have no excuse about being tired, because I did force my little bum out of bed at 6 a.m. so that I could get back to my routine. It just wasn't working. Like, sleeping in always seems so much better than when you actually get to do it. So I'm awake. I'm just not coherent. So grief to grace, Jeannie Ewing, yes, losing a child in utero is horrible. It's so, you have all these dreams. Talk about grieving. And then it's hard to grieve because the world doesn't want you to grieve. They're like, oh, just move on. You can get pregnant again. Well, some people can, some people can't. And that new baby does ease the pain a little bit, but you're not going to ever stop thinking about them. Chris and Diana would be, I think, 19 and 18 respectively. Yeah, because I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old, and they came in between the two of them. I have an ornament on the Christmas tree that represents the two of them. Okay, in hindsight, the ornament is an angel. It's just two little angels on a cloud. Yes, I wasn't completely aware of the whole difference when I bought it. Can I say that? Does that get me off the hook? Hypocrite. Did you read my post from yesterday called, it's over on reconciledtoyou.com, and it's called Shedding My Pharisee Facade. Apparently, I still need a little work to do. Other places that trigger life events our grief is, of course, the broken relationships, divorce, losing my friends. Back in 2009 was very painful. It was very difficult. I take full responsibility for my actions and the loss of that friendship. You know, my hurt feelings and my unforgivenesses that really led to my shutting down and not being able to continue. Just some of the hurt that happened. And instead of articulating that they hurt my feelings, just bottling it in and being angry. And then in the end, we probably wouldn't have stayed friends anyway, because part of being friends is sharing things in common. They liked to scrapbook, me not so much. Their interest in events became very different than my interest in events. The things we're reading became different, and Bible study became very, very impossible for me, quite honestly, to continue. And that was hard. I really missed that fellowship. But the Lord is faithful and good. And if you are faithful to His promises and you just keep praying and asking, He just does some incredible things. Again, more grace from grief. In this case, he put on my heart to start my own Bible study, to branch off. And now there probably over the course of the last 7 years of my doing my own Bible study, I'd say at least 50 women have come through the group in different times and places. And so I could say, and you know, I missed out and be upset and bitter that I was no longer part of that group. But instead, I look at the good that the Lord brought from my fidelity, from my faithfulness to Him, that all of these other women now know His goodness, have relationship with Him, learn sacrament, scripture, and prayer, their grace trifecta, and have been touched in some way by Bible study, faith sharing. And that's really a very cool thing. So again, the Lord brings that good. The other thing she writes here is addiction. I talk a lot about my food addiction. It's brought me great grief in the past. And I've also talked a lot about mental illness. Christina Trinidad and I gave a whole show on anxiety and depression, and that's going to re-air on Monday. This 27th. There you go. June 27th, Monday, June 27th. There'll be a whole show airing, re-airing on Christina and I talking about anxiety and depression. I know I said I was going to talk about it today, but the Holy Spirit had other plans and we're going to trust in those. I'll put in the links for the podcast for all our shows about depression and spiritual resilience. That was another wonderful a show I did with Dr. Wicks. We come back, we're going to look at redemptive suffering. It's very interesting, so please stay tuned to more from A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please don't go away.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Welcome to today's show. We are talking about grief to grace, the journey from tragedy to triumph. Jeannie Ewing, Sophia Institute Press. Jeannie will be here tomorrow, and I can't wait to talk with her. Just a delightful woman. She's been on the show a couple of times before. Never dull moment with Jeannie. Just such a heart for the Lord. I love the way she sees the world, and I'm excited for her to share even more about this wonderful book with you, From Grief to Grace. And we've been talking this morning about adoration and angels and saints and Allison's petrified feelings about most of the things in the world. Death, spiders, illness. Yeah. So what Allison does, and perhaps you do this too, and you can let me know by sending me a message over on Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page. Hey, and while you're there, click on the giveaway. We have very few entries to this really kicking entry giveaway this week. Five prizes. The Risen movie, which is incredible, by Sony Pictures. You have to see this movie. So thought-provoking. And I'm sending it, since I have it in my my hot little hands, I'm going to send it to you off with Little Sins. Little Sin Means a Lot. Little Sins Means a Lot? Oh, no, I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I'm just messing up the name of her book. So from our Sunday visitor. And then Pauline Books and Media has very graciously included three copies of A Single Bead by Stephanie Engelman. And last but not least, a copy of this week's book, Grief to Grace, from Jeannie Ewing. So go over to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook and enter the giveaway. And while you're there, let me know how you feel about redemptive suffering. Do you like it? Do you know what it is? Yeah, I didn't know what it was. I was just always told as a kid to offer stuff up. You know, when you have a toothache, offer it up. You have an earache, offer it up. When your friend hurts your feelings, offer it up. When you get left out of something, when you can't eat ice cream because you're dairy intolerant, offer it up. When your friend, I don't know if you listen to An Engaging Faith here on Breadbox Media. It's my friend Elizabeth Reardon. Elizabeth is the size of a piece of paper. You know, if you turn it sideways, that's my friend Elizabeth. I love this woman dearly. She does nothing but eats candy all day long. It makes me crazy. I look at the candy and I gain weight. It's a cross, right? It's a cross. And as my great-grandmother would say, offer it up. So what does that mean to offer it up? Jeannie writes here, when suffering transforms the menial drudgery of everyday chores to a chronic constant in our everyday life, we begin to recognize the value of keeping silent instead of grousing about trivialities. Greater burdens become more evident and we are shamed at our grumblings. She uses a really big word that I don't even know how you say it. She uses a lot of big words. Did you notice that? I think I've done okay with most of them. I've tried not to underline, to read out loud the ones I know I'm going to stumble over, but just beautiful writing. Absolutely beautiful writings. I have a better vocabulary in my head than out. Do you know what I mean? Like, are you the same way? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're very good at reading. Someone the other day asked me if I was ever going to be a lector at church. I said, absolutely not. Give me 1,000, 3,000 women and I'll talk all day about forgiveness, joy, trust, reconciliation. I'm all on it. Give me the sacraments, prayer, scriptures. Yes, yes, yes. I'll talk for hours to millions of people. Give me the lectionary, give me the Bible and ask me to read out loud. And yeah, in front of people. Not happening. I know I'm reading in front of you, but we're friends. And I know that you allow me these little mistakes without holding them against me. Jeannie continues here in Grief to Grace, from Grief to Grace. The cross draws us out of our whining and petty egocentrism into the eternal realm of solidarity. The concept of solidarity then summons us to suffer with and for the sake of God's kingdom on earth. Although it's valuable and even necessary to validate our uneasy feelings about carrying our crosses, it's more critical to subjugate ourselves to Jesus, even if it takes thousands of attempts in our lifetime to finally reach a place of true surrender. Oh, Jeannie, you're speaking to my heart. Oh my goodness. I'm so glad that she talks about how not easy it is. I can't stand when I read Christian work and it says, this is easy. Just give it to God. Like lay all your burdens down. No, no, no. It's hard. It's hard work. It takes time and it takes effort and we have to persevere. And she says that. Jeannie continues with, perseverance is the key to overcoming our flesh, the devil, and the world, all of which tell us to seek comfort and pleasure rather than to endure tribulations. Mm-hmm. Yes, I don't like tribulation. I don't like to suffer. I don't like to be sick. I'm a germaphobe. Remember? There's a reason I'm a germaphobe. I have so many issues. I think I'm getting a little worse. And I really need to start praying about it. I find that I don't want to touch doorknobs anymore. That I will like use the sleeve of my hand or I'll stand there and wait for somebody else to open the door. I'm assuming that because I recognize it, we're on the road to recovery. But to actually do it, it's taking a little more effort from me. Like the fact that we've gone into short sleeves, not good for me. Like how do I get the door? Like I can't just put my sleeve over my hand. But Jeannie is teaching me so much here. Redemptive suffering, she writes, is a concept foreign to most in our modern society. The world tells us in ways both subtle and blatant that happiness is achieved only through the acquisition of wealth, a lifestyle of materialism, and noteworthy achievements that lead to power or renown or both. To embrace the gift of redemptive suffering fully requires a direct contradiction to what the world dangles in front of us. Our modern world thrives on superficialities and frivolities, but our soul pines, I love this, our soul pines for far more than what the world can offer. Yes, I do know that, but I don't always like it, right? You can know what's good for you. For instance, I'm on Weight Watchers. I know that when I go into the kitchen, an apple or celery, carrots, kale, those are all cherries, grapes, those are all really good for me choices. Those are the choices that are the best for my body, for my goal of weight loss. Those are the things I should be choosing. Those are the things that offer me much more than the world has to offer. But let my husband have brought in, say, Nutta Butters, which I'm not supposed to eat because of the dairy or the gluten in them, but yet I'm drawn to them. Let somebody drive by Dairy Queen and mention, hey, anybody want an ice cream? I'll be sick for days, and it's 14 points. 14 points for one small cup with caramel on it. And yet, what does Allison want more than anything? The things she cannot have or can have but aren't the best. And I think that's another lesson in this whole idea of free will. God says you can't have it. He says you're making the choice to have it. He gives us the things that are best for our souls and for our lives. And he gives us things that are a little more tricky, right? Some of them even look good. Like, there's nothing wrong with ice cream in moderation, or if it doesn't make you violently ill. It's all about choosing with God's grace what's good for us, seeking his will, prayer, sacrament, and scripture, seeking what he wants for us. And in redemptive suffering, we get a closer understanding because we're sharing in the suffering. We're sharing in the mission. Our ascent, Jeannie writes, to redemptive suffering will drastically aid us in healing and recovering from both acute and chronic grief in our lives. When we stop running from God's invitation to open our hearts even ever wider to the magnificent chasm of his love and mercy, we will discover peace infiltrating our entire being. Resistance in tribulation only exacerbates our grief. We may discover that we thrust into a darker place than ever before, or perhaps the pain worsens or lingers a little bit longer. Embracing our cross is the essence of navigating grief. Oh, is this not? She's just brilliant. This is beautiful stuff. And I think you will really enjoy speaking with her personally tomorrow. If you have any questions for Jeannie, I invite you to text them in or call at 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can leave them to me over at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on our Facebook page. Don't forget to click on the giveaway tab while you're there and enter to win one of this week's five wonderful prizes. You can also send me an email at any time at allison@breadboxmedia.com. Go into adoration tonight, and I'd love to pray for you. Let me know how at allison@breadboxmedia.com, or visit A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook page. I'll put up the graphic right after the show that you'll know where you can leave your prayer requests. You can always private message them to me. We're on this journey together. I think we share many, many of the same fears, the same faults, and the same failings. But we also are going to share some of the same successes. Speaking of which, go to reconciledtoyou.com. It's Small Success Thursday. Got a nice blog up there for you. I look forward to talking with you tomorrow with my guest, Jeannie Ewing. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.